When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us on this field.
It's really like Soul Train today. Representation. Is it Black History Month still? No.
Bart Scott's here, America, in case you didn't know. Kimberly A. Martin looking beautiful. Harry Douglas. I'm Molly Karam. Essay's off today. We got Chris Canty joining us. Perk will be here, so we're going to have a lot of fun today on this Friday. How we feeling, team?
Percolator.
Feel good.
Yeah. Feel really, really good. Molly, I must do this. Tell me. Yesterday was my sister's birthday, Jamella Douglas. Today is my nephew, Tony Douglas Jr. And then also tomorrow is my brother's birthday, Tony Douglas. So I want to wish everybody in my family a happy birthday. I love y'all. Y'all mean the world to me.
You just
happy
don't want to buy no fam. Gifts. You cheat.
Like I mentioned you on TV, so we're good there.
You cheat, man.
All right, let's get into it here, guys. All right, so Chicago making a lot of money moves, acquiring Keenan Allen from the Chargers for a fourth-round pick. Chicago sending the number 110 overall pick in this year's draft to the Chargers for Allen, the six-time Pro Bowler who caught a career-high 108 passes in 2023. Allen's 31, entering the final season of a four-year deal and is due a $5 million roster bonus on Sunday. The Bears also signed former Eagles running back DeAndre Swift. Chicago is the first team in NFL history to add a player with 100 receptions and 1,000 rush yards from the previous season. Okay, Harry, how close is Chicago to being NFC North threats?
Molly, they're moving in the right direction. But what we've seen in the past, especially in the NFC, the Cowboys, on paper, they're a great team, right? But we haven't seen that success coming to fruition because of what they have on their roster. So for the Chicago Bears, they're making Ryan Poles is making all the right moves. Right, you're getting these offensive weapons. You're setting up whether it's going to be Justin Fields or Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. You're setting the young quarterbacks up for success by making all the moves that they have made. Now, the reason why I'm not going to say that they're going to be able to contend for this division is because I believe that much in the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love and what he's been able to do. They got, you know, Josh Jacobs, who's a bell cow back. They also signed Xavier McKinney. And I also love what the Detroit Lions have done in free agency.
Okay. Yeah, just relax, like, Bart Scott.
You ready to jump over the gate? We just started. Let me finish, Bart Scott. Calm down. Bart, don't. Calm down a little bit.
Holy Spirit activate.
But I really like what those two teams have done last season, but also what they've added to their team. The Detroit Lions trading for Carlton Davis at the cornerback position. Huge for their team. DJ Reader on the defensive line. Also, Marcus Davenport to go opposite of what Aiden Hutchinson has been able to do in the National Football League. I really like those two football teams. And I'm not looking at the Lions or the Packers to just contend for the division. I'm looking for those two teams to contend for the NFC as a conference. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not ready to put the Chicago Bears there right now.
I don't need 5 minutes I don't need a five-minute soliloquy. They're competitors. They are not contenders because the rest of the teams in the division. It's very simple.
I mean, for me, I mean, I'll put them right there. I think they put themselves in a conversation because this league and this game is about talent. And you talk about what Ryan Poles has done in the last couple of years. He's put a lot of talent. People forget that he traded for Montez Sweat in the middle of the year. And his defense was on fire and gave the Lions and everybody else everything that they can handle.
After that trade.
Right, after the trade, right? And, you know, he came in, got six sacks. And, you know, Ryan Poles is operating as a general manager that knows he has a quarterback on a rookie deal coming in and he can go and spin like crazy, right? So he's improved the talent. You talk about being able to add Keenan Allen, veteran leadership, also great locker room guys, professionals to teach the young guys how it's done. So when you talk about from a talent acquisition, now all the pressure falls on the coach to be able to take this talent and make them a team.
Exactly.
I mean, the coach is, you know, I would say he's probably third or fourth within the division as far as, you know, if you think about leadership. Yep. But I think when you talk about talent with Kevin Byrd, you got playmakers out there, right? You should be able to contend is how fast can these guys gel together, right? When I came over here for the Ravens with the Jets, it was a bunch of new faces from different places, right? They brought brought in Alan Faneca, Calvin Pace, Chris Jenkins, myself.
Jim Leonard.
Mm-hmm. We all came in like in a 2-year period and we're able to gel and mesh because we had been in certain places. We had comfortability. We were familiar with each other as far as from a scheme standpoint. So I wouldn't put it past them. The question is, how do they handle this quarterback situation to make sure that Caleb Williams can have an environment where he's not looking over his shoulder? Because if Fields is still there, it could split the locker room because you have guys that will always believe that Justin Fields will give them the better chance to win right now. Mm-hmm. And the general manager has to think about the now and the future. And, you know, players don't want to hear that. They want to win right now with the best player.
That's my thing about the Chicago Bears when you look at them, how they're currently constructed. Right now, it's the distraction of, you know, what is going to happen with Justin Fields. And I think it's organizational malpractice if you have both of those guys on the same roster. Because we just recently heard DJ Moore, their star receiver, endorse Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So you can't have 50% of the locker room endorsing Justin Fields.
He's the leader.
And have the other 50% of the locker room endorsing Caleb Williams. But I think you said something too, though, Bart. The vets that they brought in, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen, Coleman Shelton at the center position.
And Kevin
Montez Sweat they traded for. Kevin Byard.
Jermaine Edmonds the year before.
That's huge for a team that I feel like needs leadership.
Right.
So I think Ryan Pose is doing a great job of having the young guys sprinkle into the mix, but doing a great job of bringing veteran players in that played meaningful football as well that can help guide things along the way.
But it's not just, first of all, it's not just the Justin Fields question, because talking to league people, a lot of them are on board with, like, yeah, it makes sense to keep them both, which we have all agreed that we are not in favor of. But forget it. Let's say they move on from Justin Fields. Even having a rookie quarterback, as talented as we expect Caleb Williams to be, we expect that talent to transfer. He is still a rookie. A lot of us were high on Justin when he first came out, not comparing the talent, but just saying a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, you're high on the talent, Jordan Love, but there's still an adjustment that will happen. So when I look at this division and see a Jordan Love several years in, showing improvement himself as a player, when I look at the Vikings are a separate situation with Sam Darnold.
Well, they just made a huge trade right now. So they
Right. But again, who is that guy? Again, it's just a question of who's going to be that guy. And then the Lions, when I look at Goff and I look at the offense that they have, that's where I think the establishment of those two teams, the Lions and the Lions and the Packers, I think they're the clear favorite.
Yeah.
And you have the Bears competing
I can respect that, but I can say that this environment right here is similar to the one that C.J. Stroud went to in Houston last year, and he had no problem. If that guy right there is what they say he is, if he's the truth like they say he is, then he should have no problem in coming in and handing the ball off to Swift and being able to have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore win on the outside. You know, they solidify the offensive line. If I'm Justin Fields, I'm so jealous that I'm leaving this environment and I have to go and maybe be a backup and try and prove myself, because it's been malpractice for years. He's been done wrong. And often we see that, you know, from organization that didn't have a clear direction, didn't have clear leadership, and now they have a vision, but it's too late because they're operating as if they want to have a team that has a guy on a rookie quarterback contract and reset the market so that they can go out and spend frivolously so they can look similar to San Francisco and be able to have an abundance of talent.
I like your point. I would just say the divisions are different. C.J. Stroud going into the AFC South. We've got
Jacksonville.
I think the head coaches are different. When I look at D'Amico Ryans, you talk about a guy that's been there and done it and had that major success. I understand that. Yeah. But he came from an organization that had that success. Mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans played at a high level in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the clips in the playoff game versus the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. He telling his linebacker what to look for, and then he gets a pick six. Mm-hmm. That matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when you throw facts into my argument.
I'm actually more interested in the Chargers than I am the Bears. I feel like they're low-key blowing it up. So some of the Bears' big offseason additions have come from the Chargers, including Keenan Allen, obviously, and Gerald Everett. Los Angeles also cut Mike Williams, while running back Austin Eckler signed with the Commanders in free agency. Let's not forget Jim Harbaugh left Michigan, fresh off a natty, to coach Justin Herbert and the Bolts. So, Harry, I'll start with you. What impact will these moves have on Herbert?
Well, what we have to understand, you got to look at the head coach first, Molly.
Okay.
I think the head coach in Jim Harbaugh, what he was able to do with every stop he's been at, whether San Diego, Stanford, San Francisco 49ers, I played against him when I was in Atlanta when he was coaching those teams, and then at Michigan winning the national championship. This is a coach that's going to predicate that organization and that culture off of physicality. So that offensive line that went into last season with that finesse mindset, that's not the way training camp is going to go this year.
Yeah.
That's going to make a huge difference. So I think Jim Harbaugh being the head coach of this football team is going to allow Justin Herbert or take pressure off of Justin Herbert because the run game is going to be valuable. Things are going to be balanced across the board. So a lot of people don't like the fact that they're losing these wide receivers. Listen, Jim Harbaugh don't care nothing about them damn wide receivers.
Yeah,
they're going to be a physical, imposing football team. Yeah. They didn't throw a pass in the second half, I believe it was against Penn State, when he was at Michigan. Now, he missed that game, but hell, he's still the overseer.
Ew.
They did not throw a pass in the second half. That tells you everything about Jim Harbaugh and what his philosophy is and how he wants to build his culture. And if guys don't want to buy in, if guys don't want to be into it, he's going to get them out of there.
I mean, listen, NFL is about reallocation of funds. The reality was that, hey, he got Bosa to clear up some space. Yep. He got Khalil Mack to clear up some space. Keenan Allen wasn't on that trip. He wasn't about to give up his money. He's 32 years old. He's going to the last year of his deal. You kind of got to reset the market. They have the, sixth pick overall?
Fifth
pick overall. Yep. It's a lot of talent. They can go there. And you know, you think Tyron Smith is still out there, still some guys there. The right tackle market in the draft is abundant, so they can even move down and still get a right tackle because Joe Alt is a left tackle. And then, or they can address to get a weapon, so they can replace the weapon. You know what I mean? If they want to, last year they drafted Quentin Johnson right from TCU, so they already had Mike
Joshua
Williams.
Joshua Palmer is a promising guy that I feel like can
and they
carry,
should bring back, right? So they have options, but to your point, like you talk about a Harbaugh family, I played against his dad, right, in college. I played for his brother, and I know what the Harbaughs believe in. It's about physicality and football the old way. They're going to make it uncomfortable, right? You know, San Diego. The Los Angeles Chargers has always been seen as a, finesse team. He's going to take a lot of pressure off of Herbert by making them run the ball so he doesn't have to go back there and burp the baby 50 times a game and try and outscore people, right? He's going to slow the game down for him, and he's their legitimate threat whenever he comes in because he's a guy that knows how to build. Look what the success he had in San Francisco, taking him all the way to the Super Bowl after, being about 6-10 underneath, I believe, Mike Singletary. He came in, it was instant
success. Well, he got coach of the year in his first year.
Yeah.
I believe they went to a conference championship game that year. I think they lost to the Giants.
Did they beat y'all?
Oh, no. They beat us in 2012 and went to a Super Bowl before they lost. And then the following year, they went to the NFC championship again and lost to the Seattle Seahawks. So, when you are able to have that instant success or you're able to have success everywhere you go,
they have a plan.
I'm just not going to say it's going to drop off when you go to the Chargers.
Okay. Well, hearing the news about the Keenan Allen thing, that was jarring. I'm not going to lie, because a lot of people thought he would be there. I thought he would still be there. And you look at the veteran leadership. You also look at him being a fan favorite. You also look at him being productive last year, despite the age. You mentioned his age. Mm-hmm. So it was jarring. And my thought was like, okay, no Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. Okay, Justin Herbert, he better learn how to throw and catch the ball himself. But then when you take a step back and you think about it, Chargers fans right now are very much in Harbaugh we trust. And Dean Spanos, there's a reason he has Jim Harbaugh, because he understands wherever this guy has been, he's been able to build a culture and build sustainable success. Now, what I will say, I'm concerned for the short term as far as Molly's talking about the effect on Justin Herbert, which is, yes, Joshua Palmer's on this roster. They have four wide receivers on this roster that have limited experience and they're not proven starters. They now lack veteran leadership in that wide receiver room. So I think the good news is that Jim Harbaugh is building this thing the way he needs to, because it hasn't been working. The salary cap is a mess, and he's trying to take those steps. I think in the interim right now, Justin Herbert has to take on more of a leadership role, because on offense,
when we give you the bag,
that's the expectation, in my opinion.
Right. We're talking about what is the effect on Justin Herbert. Yes, in the long term, we feel good about those two together, Jim and Justin. But there are things that now more is going to fall on Justin Herbert's plate as far as the veteran leadership.
How far can they go this year?
Ooh.
I think they're going to be right there for the division.
Really?
I know Hollywood Brown went there only because I believe in Jim Harbaugh.
I do too.
But I believe in Joe Ortiz more. Like, listen, Joe Ortiz was with the Baltimore Ravens forever. He's the one who discovered me. I know that he knows.
That thin man is the smartest man alive.
He found me like the water boy. I was like somewhere in a boondocks, you know what I'm saying? In Carbondale, Illinois. But he knows and they have a plan. Right? And coming from Baltimore, the same thing we see from Ozzie to Eric DeCoste, you're going to see from Eric DeCoste to Joe Ortiz. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they have a plan for the immediate future. And what has the Ravens always been good at? Waiting and allowing the market to fall through. They'll patch a lot of those holes with guys that have to do one-year deals, prove-it deals. We saw Hollywood Brown go to Kansas City yesterday. It's going to be guys that get cut post-June 1st. And they're going to have a tremendous draft, and they're going to fill a lot of those holes and find some hidden talent out there, and they'll be right there. And they may stall out a little bit, but once Justin Herbert understands how to play the position like a professional, and when he does that, I think you can do less with more. This has been the most talented roster in all of football for the last couple of years has been the most disappointing organization in football. They've let us down. But I think with Harbaugh, they're going to do less with more because he's going to demand more, and it's not going to be no cakewalk. They're going to get beat down in practice. They're going to have physicality, and they're going to win with mental toughness and physicality.
And the advantage for Justin Herbert to me, though, when you have a head coach that's at the forefront of everything, that played the position.
Yes.
But we also see how he's endorsed his quarterbacks over the years. Look how he endorsed J.J. McCarthy at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a positive for Justin Herbert moving forward.
Luck? Look what he did with Luck.
No, that's what I'm saying. I know. He's always been that guy that pepped up his guys and made sure they never had that weight on their shoulders.
Another free agency move or lack thereof I want to get into, guys, before we get to break. A running back, Derrick Henry, landed with the Ravens during his first time as a free agent. So some have thought the Cowboys might be interested, considering he lives and trains there in the offseason. However, they were not. Henry appearing on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio with my guy, Adam Schein. Listen to this.
Yes. Did Dallas pick up the phone? Were they involved in the Derrick Henry sweepstakes?
Not at all. I don't really know what's going on over there, but the Cowboys never called at all.
Now, were they on your radar? Did that surprise you?
I mean, of course, because I mean that's why I stay in the off season. That's a great organization and been a great opportunity. But I'm thankful that I ended up here in Baltimore.
So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. I get it.
Are you shocked that the Cowboys didn't even call him?
No.
We've all been there.
No. Okay. You know why? Because last year, the Dallas Cowboys, before the trade deadline, had a chance to inquire about Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And they also did not pick up the phone. They did not call the Tennessee Titans. So knowing that, this offseason, that's why I was thinking, you know, Saquon Barkley would look good in a Cowboys uniform.
Nope.
So, because I knew it would not be Henry. And Derrick Henry is literally sitting there like, I'm right here. It's like I'm right in front of your eyes and you still aren't calling me? Like, what is wrong? He's like, I'm trying to figure out what is going on in Dallas because I'm literally here. But it doesn't surprise me because they had a chance. And they made it clear last year that they weren't interested.
Well, that's like me going to look at a Bugatti. I can't afford it. What the hell am I in there for, right? Like, so that's them looking at Derrick Henry. They can't afford Derrick Henry. Listen, they got a tax bill that they can't afford. They got a $60 million a year tax bill at quarterback. Okay. They got a $30 million bill for a pass rusher when you look at what Brian Burns got paid. And they got a $28 million tax bill for a wide receiver. So they can't afford him. How are they going to spend all that money this year and then give him $8 to $10 million? Now, but if he would have, I bet you they would have took him for $4 million.
Okay, but they didn't even, here's my thing, you don't
what
even
I'm calling for?
No, because sometimes you might think
I got 4 million.
I got no shot to get her. You might think I got no shot, so you're just gonna sit there and just not.
But I'm just trying to be your rebound man. Once you come to your senses, you're going to realize you can't afford me. You know what I'm saying?
But let me make that call. Like, you
I don't
didn't even
understand how rebound worked. Did you just try to work that in here? How does that even work into the analogy?
Because it's not real. They can pay him for 1 year. He wanted a 2-year deal.
But here's the thing. You don't know if Derrick Henry would have said,
I know he ain't taking $4 million.
I'm not saying four, But you just, like, the fact that you don't even inquire is what is the sticking point for me. Because now you blocking your own blessings, potentially, Bart. You might be blocking your own blessings. You don't pick up the phone and just see. Maybe I catch her on
What's
that good
What's the worst
day.
You can tell me?
All he can be is okay. A side piece, because then my main chick going to be like, yo, hold up. What are we talking about? Michael Parsons like, yo, I need 30. I need 35. He's like, man, I can give you 30 because I gave him. You gave it to him?
But so let me tell you why it's shocking to me, because when I look at the Cowboys, in order to win a championship and contend for one in today's football, I think you have to be balanced offensively. You look at all the teams that made the playoffs this past season, especially the ones, the Final Four, those guys ran the football effectively throughout the year and also throughout the playoffs. So when I look at a guy like Derrick Henry, and we got to stop letting these GMs and these owners trick us now, because they can alter contracts and figure out and find money.
Not when you don't know if Dak got a $59 million cap hit. That's.
But listen, you can, if you truly wanted to, you can alter some things and switch some things around, make things into signing bonuses, and give the money up front and try to find something. So here's the thing about Derrick Henry. He got $8 million a year, right?
Yeah, could be up to 10.
Who's saying he wouldn't have took 6.5
That's
or 7?
That's all I'm saying.
In the state
they don't
of
know.
In the state
they
of Texas,
okay, don't give me
where you don't
tax.
Have state
they don't
tax.
Because they didn't ask.
Where Bruh. He already just said he lives in the offseason.
He's literally there.
Bro, like, they know they can't afford. Do you understand? Like, listen, you made a lot of money. You know when that tax bill come when you ain't do your dependents right, you know you got to cut that check.
Another reason why I went to the state of Tennessee. That's the income tax.
But understand, they don't want to waste their time. Like, they have three players that are going to be the highest paid player in their position.
And you can address the rushing in the draft.
Right.
Yes.
And also,
and they do
also
draft well.
So the Cowboys draft the guy from Texas who's a war daddy, right? You know, the running back position is easy to replace. We've seen guys like Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Bijan Robinson come in and be effective day one.
I'm going to.
And then they still can go draft one, and they can go get a guy like, you know, J.K. Dobbins, who's a guy that's going to have to take a one-year deal, prove-it deal. And we wouldn't argue about that backfield.
But I think it's deeper than that for me. When I look at Derrick Henry, I look at the leadership qualities. I look at someone who's
Man,
been
Dak at, Prescott is your leader.
Listen to me, bro. Just listen
okay,
to me.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking at somebody who literally from the running back position took a team to the AFC Championship game by himself.
I don't need him to do that here.
Why you don't? Hell, you ain't been to one since January 1996.
But it's not from a talent acquisition part. Like, listen, it's certain positions that we value more. We understand the running back position is not valued at that level. He's 30 years old. I'm not giving him $10 million a year when I got to cut a check for $50, $60 million for my quarterback. I got to cut a check for 30-something million. Because if they don't pay Parsons this year, the price only going to go up. Because he's looking at them like, man, Brian Burns, really? That's what we doing? Oh, I need double that, right? Or are you looking at CeeDee Lamb? Listen, they better get CeeDee Lamb done before Justin Jefferson get paid, because he's going to say, I want more.
So just acknowledge, Bart, that you rather say, I'm not even going to try. You're afraid of the word no. Just say that. Because
you my side piece.
You just.
Well, I got to pay my main.
How you going to get the side piece if you don't say nothing to
them? They literally have one running back right now.
Can't afford the side piece when your main chick is so expensive.
Molly laughing.
I'm saying your main chick. Your main chick want a Birkin. You need somebody that's willing to take a Michael Kors bag.
Nothing's wrong with Michael Kors. Let's just.
It is not. You know what I'm saying? And if your main chick want a Louis, you might get away, you know what I'm saying, with a Chanel or something on the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Chanel's more than
sure now. I was going to say. It
depends on what Louis you get.
But the Birkin was a good reference.
Yes.
To honor Women's History Month, here's our trivia question for the day. Who holds the record for the most points in the NCAA National Championship game in basketball? Do any of you think you... Don't Google. Don't get on your phone, Kimberly.
Oh, no.
Don't be getting on your phone. That answer is after the break.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back to First Take. Our women's history trivia question was this. Who holds the record for the most points in the NCAA National Championship game in basketball? The answer is none other than the great Cheryl Swoopes in 1992-93.
Yeah, I remember you told me that.
Phoenix is now a half game behind the Kings for the sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. Despite the loss, the Suns had four players score 20 points, including Kevin Durant. Now take a listen to what J.J. Redick said about KD on his podcast recently.
He's literally one of the greatest players ever, and we spend too much time on the bullshit instead of just appreciating his night-to-night greatness. LeBron James has 20 straight seasons scoring 25 points or more a game. That's the record. You know, second?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. 15 in a row this year.
Wow. It's a big glass of wine, JJ. Hey, Per. Good morning. Thank you for being with us. How are we doing?
Hey, what's up, Molly? Always good to see you. Kenny, hair, what's going on, fellas? I know hair got them jabos on under the table.
Hey.
I know he got them jabos on, them old school jabos.
That's my boy right there.
There you go. There you go.
All right, let's dive in here. Perk, I'm starting with you. Is KD underappreciated as a superstar? You heard what JJ just said.
God bless America. Listen, Molly, we know JJ, right? We know once a month he's going to give us that cute and adorable JJ rant, right? He's going to give it to us once a month. And sometimes, majority of the time, he's right. But in this instance, he has lost his damn mind when it comes to putting KD in that certain type of box and saying that a guy that is an all-time great is underappreciated. Like, Kevin Durant is a top 20 greatest player of all time, in my opinion, and is going to continue to move up in the ranks. Kevin Durant is the greatest scorer that I've ever seen, and I've said that on numerous occasions. When it comes to being underappreciated, he doesn't fall in that category. Kevin Durant, because of some of the decisions that he made throughout the course of his career, right, the journey that he had to go, he could get criticized. We credit all-time greats that got criticized. We criticized LeBron James when he went to Miami, right? And LeBron James, the reason he went back to Cleveland is to shut the haters up and to change the narrative and won a championship there. We criticize James Harden all the time. He's going to be an all-time great because, look, he don't get it done in the postseason. When you fall in that criteria of being underappreciated, I look at guys like Dwight Howard. He's underappreciated for what he did in Orlando. You know, I believe 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, leading the league in rebounding, leading the league in blocks. When I look at a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's on the verge of winning his 4th Defensive Player of the Year award and still doesn't have the respect of his peers, we don't talk about him enough. He's a future Hall of Famer. When you look at a guy like DeMar DeRozan down there in Chicago, one of the most elite scorers this game has ever seen, he's underappreciated. Kevin Durant is not appreciated. Kevin Durant, we just criticize him when need be. We can't help it that he chose to leave Steph Curry and go team up with Kyrie Irving and the mission failed. Like, he has to get it done on his own. That's not saying or knocking KD and saying we don't appreciate him. That's just calling it a spade to spade.
So, Perk, I'll say this. When it comes to people like you, me, and Canty, I can't sit up here and say that we underappreciate a Kevin Durant. But I think when you look at the decisions that you just brought up, him joining the Golden State Warriors after being up 3-1 when he was with the OKC Thunder, him deciding to leave Golden State and team up with Kyrie Irving and then leave the Brooklyn Nets and go to the Phoenix Suns, I think in the people's eye, right? I'm not talking about us, but I think in the normal people's eye, they view it as, you know, Kevin Durant making some bad decisions, and they don't appreciate his game to the magnitude that I feel like they should.
You mean the decisions overshadow his talent
exactly.
And his play on the court because people are more focused on off-the-court storylines
versus what he's actually doing within the game of basketball. This is a 2-time Finals MVP, a 2-time NBA champion, scoring champ. We know he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. We had Mama Durant on Freddie and Harry the other day. I sung to Mama Durant. You know what I mean? I was throwing some little tunes to Mama Durant. You know what I'm saying? And everything. But I think when you look at the global part about it and how everyone views Kevin Durant, I don't know if they appreciate Kevin Durant the way they should as a superstar. I know we do.
Here's what I'll say about the Kevin Durant of it all. And, Perk, I think you did a great job of framing the conversation. I completely agree with your position, KP. I would say when it comes to on the court or in the field of play, no one has done less than with more than Kevin Durant. He is the NBA version of Aaron Rodgers. And what I mean by that is his own individual talent and the talent that's been around him. This guy has had 3 MVPs in the prime of their careers around him. You had Russell Westbrook with Oklahoma City Thunder. You had James Harden that was a part of that situation. You also had Steph Curry with the Golden State Warriors. You had James Harden again with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. And you guys in 4 years won a grand total of 1 playoff series. And then you have the situation now in Phoenix with Devin Booker and with Bradley Beal. What I'm saying is this. Nobody is debating whether or not Kevin Durant is a top 20 player. From J.J. Redick's standpoint, I think it's a straw man argument. Maybe he was pandering because he had Devin Booker in front of him. But nobody is debating the greatness of Kevin Durant when it comes to his individual talent. But when we start talking about the guys that are the all-time greats, the guys that are in the pantheon of the NBA, what separates them is being able to have success at the highest levels of sport, having those intangibles that lead to you being able to compete in the NBA Finals consistently, being able to win championships. You compare them to LeBron James and saying that, oh, well, he's had the second most 25-point seasons in terms of his overall average. Well, guess what? LeBron James, when he left the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time, went down to Miami, won a couple of championships, but then he was able to take that secret sauce, that DNA, from winning a championship in Miami and replicate it in Cleveland. And then he replicated it with the LA Lakers. So far, Kevin Durant hasn't been able to do that. So if we want to compare Kevin Durant to the other guy that's been the best player in the NBA over the last decade or so, that's where Kevin Durant falls short. And I think that it's fair to criticize him in that regard.
Before you jump in, that's a strong take. You said nobody's done less with more. At first, I thought you misspoke. You meant more with less. Less with more than Kevin Durant. Do you feel like that's a fair statement, Perk?
I mean, to back up Canty's point, okay, think about this, Molly. We talked about LeBron James and how he went back to Cleveland, right? Because he knew that he needed to go and do it on his own, and he did that. And LeBron James has been on record talking about that's the best championship that he's won out of his four. Okay, you look at the late, great Kobe Bryant, right? The two without Shaq is what actually elevated Kobe Bryant in the GOAT conversation. Just 2 months ago, about 2 months ago, Kevin Durant was, I believe, on his podcast, okay? Kevin Durant said that he should be in the GOAT. Why is he not in the GOAT conversation? The reason that you're not in the GOAT conversation is because you have to get it done by being the leader of your team, by being the guy that, you know, saying, you know what, I'm going to take you from the foundation and win it on my own. And he hasn't done that. All the all-time greats, every single person that we consider or go back and forth with that's in the GOAT conversation has went and led their team to the championship. Kevin Durant hasn't done that yet. And the fact of the matter is we will always remember what Kevin Durant did in his journey, right? And he has the right to do whatever the hell he want to do. But think about this for a second. He blew a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors, okay, and then went and joined them the next year. All right, won 2 NBA championships, 2 finals MVPs, could never really get out of his mind that he always was going to be in the shadows of Steph Curry because Steph Curry is Golden State. Okay, then you go, you leave Steph Curry, which was, in my opinion, which was crazy because you could have had 2 more championships and possibly 2 more finals MVPs under your resume, and you go team up with Kyrie Irving. And then all of a sudden you team up with Kyrie Irving and James Harden, and it was one of the greatest failures of all times when it comes to a situation like that. Now you're back in Phoenix. You have a future Hall of Famer around you in Devin Booker. You have another future Hall of Famer.
Perk dealing with some technical difficulties. One thing I want to jump in, though, where I feel like I have to defend Kevin Durant here, damned if you do, damned if you don't. As far as what Perk was saying, the sentiment in terms of if he had stayed with Steph Curry, more championships, more MVPs, et cetera. But he was being crucified for going to the Warriors. So then he's saying, okay, now I'm going to get one on my own. And that was a failed experiment. But you can't put that all on Kevin Durant.
That's why I want to go with it.
So yes, shaky. Wait, one sec. So yes, some like shaky decisions. I understand. But to say no one's done less with more, I mean, that's there's still teammates involved in other people.
So that's my point. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets, that wasn't Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loved basketball. Kevin Durant could be counted on, right? When he couldn't control what Kyrie had going on, and then James Harden didn't like it. And then we crucified.
Yeah, but hold on. He can control what he says about Kyrie Irving going missing for not one time, but 2 times for weeks on end. Holding your teammates accountable is a part of the
deal. But do you know he didn't?
He never.
Do you know he did it behind closed doors, though?
Because he doesn't lead
the way we want him to lead doesn't mean he didn't do it.
It's not.
We got to stop trying to make it seem like we want this person to lead this way because that's the way we're accustomed to doing it.
Well, you have to hold teammates accountable, Harry.
But how do you know he did it, though?
But here's the thing. No matter what he tried, it was ineffective. And as the best player, that is what we're going to hold you accountable for. And here's the other thing that you got to take into account. He chose to pair with Kyrie Irving.
True.
He's the one that put together that big three in Brooklyn.
True.
He's the one that put together the big three in Phoenix. So we can hold him accountable when you have a teammate that goes missing for weeks on end and why your team underachieves based on the talent that you have. I'll go back to say this to button up my point. Going back to the 2021 season in 2022, nobody questioned before the last Golden State Warriors championship who the better of the two players were when it came down to Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Now that we're on the other side of that championship, after Golden State won a title without him, and then they won a title before him, it starts to look a little bit differently in terms of what we say Kevin Durant is all time, what Steph Curry is all time. And to me, that is an indictment on the intangibles that come along with
KD. This is so good, and there's so much meat on the bone. It's killing me right now. Perk, I'm glad we have you back. I'm going to give you the final word here, and then I got to get into a quick commercial break, and we can totally revisit it because I know there's a lot more to get into.
And see, Harry, that's the problem right there. You're making more excuses for Kevin Durant than a brother going to jail. Here's the problem that I have when it comes down to leadership. When you're a leader, at times you have to get uncomfortable. That's why certain people like myself, and I believe Charles Barkley, has been calling Kevin Durant out this year to be a leader of the Phoenix Suns, because Kevin Durant has the championship experience. Kevin Durant has finished the mission. And so if you're in that locker room and you see that you need to be an extension of Frank Vogel, you have to get uncomfortable and get outside your comfort zone and be that leader, because you have it in you. I spent 4.5 years with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant knows the game in and out. Kevin Durant has a voice. People look up to Kevin Durant. Get uncomfortable.
All right. Let me get in a quick break. We got a lot more to dive into. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. In a move that seemed highly probable after Washington signed Marcus Mariota in free agency, the Commanders traded quarterback Sam Howell a pair of picks to the Seahawks on Thursday for two higher selections in next month's draft. Seattle was a team many believed would be a good fit for Justin Fields. Now, while we continue to wait on where Fields will suit up next season, there's been many quarterbacks on the move in free agency, including Russell Wilson to the Steelers, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, both teams who were widely considered target destinations for Fields. Now, remember, Bears GM Ryan Poles said this about Fields' future with the franchise now over 2 weeks ago.
I would love to know as soon as possible.
Right.
I mean, I would love to know, but I know that's not how the process works. You know, there's sure before free agency would be good. Like I said, I'm also taking, you know, if we were to do something with Justin, like I want to do right by him. And I know, again, living in that gray space, you would want to do something sooner rather than later.
Bartholomew.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? You got nervous when I said that. Yeah, you thought you were in
usually
trouble.
Usually when somebody say Bartholomew, I'm in trouble. That's my grandma knew. I had to go pick out some switches shortly after.
Okay. What's the best spot for Justin Fields now?
It's tough because a lot of good places that you would think would make sense has closed, and we know that the teams in the first three have options, and they choose to go cheap and talented as well with their quarterback for their regime. You know, what makes Justin Fields intriguing but also difficult is that, you know, next year he's going to be up for it if you're going to pick up his fifth-year option. We saw that with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, and, you know, they moved on from it later. I think right now I don't understand why the Denver Broncos aren't in the conversation. I know Sean Payton prefers to have a type of quarterback that throws the ball in rhythm on time. This is a guy who I feel like in Justin Fields has, you know, I feel sorry for him because he's been put in the worst situation. And we see a lot of times when you're the first pick or top pick, you don't go to the most ideal situation. I think it's going to be different this time because the Bears have the top pick, but it's the Panthers' pick. They're a much better team than what the team that Justin Fields was on. But I think the Denver Broncos, in a time where they're going to carry $38 million of dead cap space because of Russell Wilson, can give their team an opportunity to still win while they're rebuilding and resetting the market, because if he doesn't play well, they can move on from him because they don't have to pick up the option, but it gives them time to evaluate their other players. A lot of times you worry about, you know, saying, oh, well, we don't need a quarterback, but to be able to evaluate the receivers and the talent around you, I don't think the Denver Broncos have a quarterback on a roster that they allow you to do that in a strong manner, and they're rebuilding. And losing Judy, losing Simmons is a big loss.
I don't know what to say about Justin Fields anymore.
Purple rain.
Yeah, I honestly, it does make me sad. And I understand Ryan Poles. Like, I spoke to him at the Combine, interviewed him, and he said, reiterate, I'm just trying to do, I want to do right by Justin.
But how?
Time has passed.
Yep.
They didn't do right by Justin when they drafted him, based on the regime that was there that did draft him, and then the situation that he's in now. At this point, I would rather just see – Justin's just got to be a backup somewhere.
See, but that's a disservice. Like, listen.
How good is he?
That's
like,
what is his
talent level? Do we know?
We don't know. I think he can be just as good as Jalen Hurts.
I think
he has that type of talent, that ability. But if the Chicago Bears ain't going to come off of that second-round pick or whatever, it has to be something that – you don't have to win every trade.
Well,
like, do right by the kid.
So that is – you have – to Molly's point, there's the question within the NFL about the talent. How – it's a very subjective.
Yep.
Some people thought very highly of him. Others were like, he's like a project. I don't really see it. Then you have the compensation piece. You have a GM in Ryan Poles who gave up the first pick last year, now has it again, wants to reset their whole situation on a cheaper rookie scale. Fine. But that leaves Justin out. But even checking in yesterday with people, I'm told there's a market for Justin. I've talked to NFL people this week on teams that need QBs, are still in the QB market, and they've said, listen, the longer this drags on, the cheaper he becomes. So it's not just about the questions about his talent. It really becomes about the compensation as well. And what are you willing to give up? If I know that Harry, he's got too many quarterbacks soon, I'm going to wait him out. I'm going to just wait because I'm going to try to get the guy I want for much cheaper. But Harry is going to feel like I'm not giving away something that's potentially valuable for nothing. And then you have this stalemate. I talked to people this week that were like, it makes sense for them to keep them.
But you have an abundance of money and resources. So who cares if you get a fourth instead of a second if you're doing right by the kid when you know you've done wrong by the kid regime?
If ownership, I'm Ryan Poles, I'll be like, you know what? I didn't take the kid. He wasn't my pick. I'm trying to do right by him now. But my main objective is doing right by the Chicago Bears organization for today, tomorrow, and the future.
We also got to understand this. I think for the Chicago Bears, sometimes, Bart, you've taken L's. Kmart, you've taken L's.
Yeah.
Molly, I've taken some.
But
you've taken some, and I've taken some.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to talk up these L's, man, and move along. And sometimes it doesn't sound the greatest, but keeping Justin Fields on this roster, if you draft Caleb Williams, is organizational malpractice, in my opinion.
So counter to, because again, we're in agreement, but just playing devil's advocate, when is Justin Fields going to be more valuable to another team? You could
when
say next season.
No. When someone gets injured, and it's like week six.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're the Bears.
I get what you're saying.
We all are in the same.
The fat pig got slaughtered, I call it karma. Same page with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to be going down that road. Like, you won because you're right here, and the Panthers were horrible.
To Kimberly's point, it's a business, and they might not care.
But they have salary cap space coming. They got multiple draft picks.
I like the Raiders. I do.
Okay.